Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Greg Isaacs, the Chief Product Officer at Criteria Corp, and a devout New York Giants fan. So I had to pull out my Josh Allen Bills background for this one. Good morning.
Yeah, it looks good morning. You and I, it seems like we can have a healthy debate about football and the hopefully emerging Bills-Giants rivalry. The Bills are in better shape than the Giants are, so we'll have to hope the Giants can get to that level.
But we can agree we both like New York-based teams, right?
That's absolutely right.
Yes. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Absolutely. So I've been in the tech world since 2001. Cut my teeth at eBay, where I ran our developers program. So this was all about making eBay's APIs available to third-party developers. And it really, I think, opened my eyes to two profound areas. Number one is just the idea of a platform. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, not only a platform where people can buy and sell things, but a technology platform. And so Microsoft had obviously done it on the desktop world. And from an online perspective, eBay was trying to do the exact same thing. So platforms are very powerful. You can garner a lot of economic value, you can create a lot of businesses. So for me, that was one that was has really inspired me throughout my career. And the second was the idea of a marketplace, so where you bring supply and demand together, you bring trust, you bring price transparency. And so eBay was the ultimate marketplace. And I've had the opportunity to work at a few different marketplaces, including companies like ZipRecruiter, where that understanding the economics and the dynamics of a marketplace have been hugely valuable. And so throughout my career, I worked at eBay, worked at the NFL running digital, ZipRecruiter, now more recently, Chief Product Officer Criteria, where we help companies hire smarter using assessments ranging from personality assessments to cognitive assessments, but just make it very easy for these companies to not only administer them and give the candidate a great experience in taking those assessments, including game-based assessments, but also making it very easy for companies to get information and salient insights. So they don't necessarily need to have an expensive consultant come and interpret a report. They can look at a one pager and understand the strengths and weaknesses of any candidate and compare them accordingly. So, you know, it's really fascinating throughout my career. I've had the opportunity to hire a lot of great people and have been hired and have never used assessments or been required to take assessments as part of the process, which is always a bit interesting given that I work and we both work in a really data-driven, evidence-based world. I'm a big believer in assessments, and I think we're in the early stages of, what they can do in helping companies make smarter hiring decisions.
Interesting. So, I mean, you now work at a company that's what they do. They do assessments for potential candidates. So obviously they did it for you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you must have been a good fit for their culture, I would assume.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it was interesting. This is the first time I've ever, I think for a lot of us, I only met our CEO literally probably a year ago today when I met him through the first interview we had, and it was a great discussion. And then I didn't meet anyone else for 9 months. And basically I'm still working remote like a lot of us. So I was not only being interviewed and onboarded, but I have assimilated into a culture 100% remote. And if you would have asked me a year ago, would I have been able to do that? I probably would have said, you know, how do I get a feel of the people, the culture, the business processes? I would have thought have been really difficult. And candidly, it's been probably the smoothest onboarding I've ever had. And the assessments are part of it in terms of just they got to understand me, my personality, how I adapted environments, my general, where I perform best, my aptitude, my abilities. And so, I think it was a really important part of them understanding my capabilities. And even today when I hire people, we administer assessments so I can just get a better understanding of how this individual may fit from a personality perspective and also their emotional intelligence, their cognitive capabilities. Again, it's just hiring's hard. And so the more data points you have, the better.
Yeah, a good hire or a bad hire can really make or break certain companies. And interesting, so because the world has gotten remote, And I don't think that's something you just ask, are you good at remote? But do you have tools that help maybe companies determine that?
Yeah, and I think our assessments in general are a great way to do that. And so if you think about the two or three assessments that we recommend most companies administer, and we have, you know, 20 some odd of them, depending on the function and your location and what have you. But the ones are, that we recommend generally are a personality assessment and some type of cognitive assessment. And the cognitive is basically your cognitive abilities, you know, critical thinking, numerical reasoning, for example. And those are really important to understand, you know, just the general aptitude of an individual. And we have data that shows if you score in certain ranges, you may be a good fit for a certain kind of job. And so that helps hiring managers make, I think, better informed decisions. But then the personality piece of it, which we measure, you know, roughly, you know, 12 different traits from assertiveness to extroversion, for example, motivation. Those are really helpful just to understand how a candidate compares against the general population. And soon we'll have the ability to compare that to your existing employee base. And so why that's really important is that you can understand when an individual is working remotely, if they like to be extroverted, well, how do you ensure that that individual gets to experience the extroverted nature of the role? Whereas someone might be introverted, remote may be a great opportunity because there's a natural ability to be more introverted. And so I think it just hones in the ability for hiring managers and makes them think, I think, a little more critically about when you're hiring someone in a remote environment, what are the things you need to focus on? And so, yeah, I think at the end of the day, the great news is these assessments, whether you're remote or in person, are equally powerful and applicable.
Yeah, interesting. And it sounds like you don't just help with the hiring process, but also after the hiring process, you have a better understanding of the person and what makes them tick and how to motivate them, correct?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, one of the things about remote in this last year or so, we were thinking about doing a what we call a post-hire product. So we administer for over 4,000 companies pre-hire assessments, but the journey doesn't stop there once you've hired a candidate. You want to help onboard them, help them be successful. And so we launched a product just last week called Talent Insights. And at the end of the day, it's the same personality test that we administer to candidates, but it's now can be used internally. And so the great thing about that is that you can get the same personality insights because there's no right or wrong personality. You are who you are. But you can look at those insights of anyone on the team. And the great thing is you can create ad hoc teams. So if you and I were colleagues and we wanted to create a tiger team to solve a problem, we can invite six people and understand the personality traits of all of them to how to work more effectively. But now when you think about a candidate who's interviewing and then they're being onboarded, you want to be able to have that candidate, once they join a new team, to mesh easily and to be successful. And so it's our first foray into the post-hire space, and remote has really accelerated that. Plus our clients were actually using our pre-hire assessments, the post-hire use case. So they actually told us or showed us, hey, this is a use case that we think you should develop. And so we're really excited about this product that we just launched. We think it's going to open up a whole new opportunity for us from a business perspective, but also at the end of the day, just helping our clients be more successful.
Interesting. And it's like going forward, do you think that remote is going to be a huge thing for these companies and you're going to help them with that? Because it seems to me like the general population, it's been about a year now, has literally adapted to this and wants some form of remote. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally, I think companies and employees, frankly, want some form of remote. My opinion is that, you know, in times of great crisis, humans will tend to over-rotate to a certain area. And so I think there will be the hybrid or balanced approach, and whether it's 20-80 or 80-20, who knows? But I do think that there will be some type of, you know, hybrid model. And I think with that, there'll become new challenges. So for example, today I'm actually in the office. It's the first time I'm in the office, and we have about 10 of us here. And we do a stand-up every morning. And the stand-up of the last 9 months since I've been here has been completely remote. Now we have half of the team, there's probably 15 of us on the stand-up call, are here, and the other half are remote. Mm. And so there's a little bit of, well, we didn't have a big screen. We were using someone's computer. Not everyone could hear each other. So there's going to be a little bit of adjustments, both from just a cadence and style, but also technology to make that work. I think why remote works today is because everyone's on the same playing field.
Yes.
We're all home. And in the future, you're going to have some people in the office and some people are going to be remote. And so what are the things we need to do from a company perspective to make sure that, again, you create as level playing field as possible? It could be, again, you know, better technology so everyone's in the, virtually in the same room. It could be days, Tuesday and Thursday, everyone's in the office together. Whatever it happens to be, every company's got to figure that out. But I think remote is definitely here to stay, mainly because it provides not only flexibility for employees, but if you look at all these data points, productivity seems to be have improved. And I think that's pretty amazing. So I think we're all pretty fortunate to be able to work in environments like this where we hopefully will have that flexibility.
Yeah, and it's interesting because productivity has improved. People have noticed that. Part of it's because a lot of us got 2 hours back that because we weren't driving in traffic, right?
That's right.
Do you notice too that does your product help with, you know, understanding that, hey, you got to reach out to these people and tell them to turn off their computer at a certain time?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, the assessments themselves will tell you a lot about someone's personality. And so you can draw insights into that. So for example, if you see someone who might be on the higher end of the motivation scale, while it doesn't always work to this way, you could draw some conclusions that they may be on all the time. And so you want to be able to make sure that you give everyone the opportunity to have a balanced life, because this is a marathon, not a sprint. And what I always tell employees, and I actually learned this the hard way, because when I first went remote, I think my mental space wasn't there where I thought this would be a temporary thing. I thought it would be a month or two. And so over time, I finally got my head around, I need to be mentally prepared that this could be a permanent thing for who knows how long. And so once I got in that mental space, then I said, okay, now that I know I'm going to be home or working remote, what do I need to do to make sure that I have the right balance? And so for me, you know, I just thought about how do I replicate some of the benefits of being in an office at home? So what I loved about it in the office was just people coming by and saying, hey, how are you doing? And even though sometimes it may be downside because they interrupt your work, it was a great way of breaking bread, taking a bit of a break. So I force myself now with my calendar to take little routine breaks. It could be just walking outside. That's one of the benefits of LA is like you can do that all the time. It could be walking to the house and, you know, say hi to my kids. Just taking natural breaks, I think, is really important. And then the other piece is just creating a natural separation. And so, you know, I'm fortunate I can work in our garage, but for people who maybe have a studio, how do you, one bedroom, how do you create separation between your office and your home? So when I'm done for the day, I shut the garage door, I leave my computer in the garage like I used to do at work. And if I need to check email, I can do it from home. So I create that little bit of boundary between the office life and home life, even though basically I'm working from the same location.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, pre-COVID, you had to drive home. So it was the natural break and you got to wind down.
That's right.
You used to go to the gym, hopefully I can do again soon. That all stopped. And you did know there was a period of burnout there for people, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel for people, you know, I have two kids that are 14 and 11. They're pretty self-sufficient, so I'm lucky that way. But I certainly have a lot of empathy, which I think it probably is the most important thing a manager or a colleague could have, is just empathy for humans in general, but, you know, colleagues. And I see them with young kids and just trying to balance that. And it's definitely challenging. And so I'm hoping one of the benefits of when we go back to some type of normalcy, if you will, is that we're just more empathetic as a society, not only to our friends and family, but also to colleagues. Because yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's not only just good business, it's also just good humanity.
I would agree. And you said you went into the office today for the first time. So you actually met people at your company for the first time today?
Yeah, it was crazy. So I said, one of our lead engineers, just posted on Slack last week, hey, let's go to the office on Tuesday. Obviously wear your masks and be very safe. Criteria was great about giving us all these cool masks. So again, the only person I really met at the company was our CEO. And so he was here, but I hadn't seen him for a year. And then literally there are 10 people who I've been on Zooms with or Teams calls with for the last 9 months, every single day that I had never met. And so it was interesting because you saw them, you're like, you immediately know who they were, but there's just this natural social reaction, like, hey, how are you? And it was fascinating. And so it was good to see people. I'm hoping we can do more of this in the future.
Yeah. You know, a funny story, I have a group I meet with every Thursday morning. And, you know, some of the people came on after COVID, so I'd never met them in person, only like this.
Yeah.
We decided to do, you know, on a Saturday after when things were open a little bit up here, we went on a hike together. And the one woman walked up to me, didn't recognize, I mean, we were halfway through the hike. She goes, oh, you're Mark. I thought you were shorter.
Right. That's the interesting thing, because people I look at, I was like, wow, you're 6'5". It's like, cause you only see people from the sort of like the stuff. Yeah. It's great. It makes you yearn for that interaction. And then the other piece of it is we bought a company in Australia about a little over a year ago that was a leader in game-based assessment. So think of them as your Tetris-like games that'll test cognitive abilities. And that's one of the things we're really proud of, is we have a broad array of assessment types, your standard SAT types, if you will, and then your more game-based ones. And I would have probably been out to Australia twice at this point, but I haven't had the opportunity to meet any of them face-to-face. But it is interesting just looking at how they have done, they meaning the Australians in general, and I'm on calls with them. They're all in a conference room with no masks, and we're all at home, wearing masks when we go outside. So it's been a really fascinating lesson in so many different ways of just working life.
Yes, and I've been to Australia twice. I can tell you, Sydney is a lot like San Francisco. It's a wonderful city.
Yeah, Sydney. The company we acquired is in Brisbane, but they
I've
do
been there too.
Sydney. So yeah. Hopefully, I have two trips planned for this year, so hopefully I'll get to do at least one of them.
Well, hopefully you get out there. Brisbane's a very nice place. Sydney's more the picturesque. The Brisbane's more of a business town, is the way I would describe it.
Yeah, cool.
Well, Greg, it's been great talking to you today. Fascinating. I hope it sounds like your product, your company is going to do very well in the future. I think, you know, anything where data can help companies be more effective is definitely going to do well in the future. And hopefully let's hope we can get the Bills versus the Giants again in the Super Bowl. What do you say?
Yeah, that'll be great in 2021. Let's make that happen.
All right. Well, not much we can do. All we can do is cheer.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we can cheer, and hopefully they'll make some good draft picks.
Hopefully. All right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you. You too.